Next man up, 102.5, the game. Jake Lyman with you, and it is a TD Tuesday here on Titans roster cutdown day. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, is with us for all 3 hours. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Parker Kelly with us behind the glass. TD, we are back on Tuesdays after getting moved around a little bit with Titans practice. Should be a fun one today. Obviously, it's a big day, and I'm sure we'll start to find out some more of these cuts as they get down to 53 this afternoon throughout the show.
Yeah, some more cuts will be coming. It's good to be back on schedule. And, hey, it's also good to wake up in the morning after a 13-3 win for my Mets over the Phillies. I mean, listen, we can't go without mentioning that.
That's a big series. Division, how far back are they in the division now? 4 or 5 games?
Yeah, we're not going to look at that.
But still.
It's like four games.
The head-to-head, if you get a couple more,
yeah,
you could close that gap a little more. I'm a little bit tired this morning because I decided to stay up and watch Tarek Skubal pitch in Sacramento last night. They didn't have first pitch till 9, and then of course he gave up a grand slam on his last pitch of the game, so they lost to the Athletics 8-3. So good for the Mets, though, and maybe we'll talk about the Mets a little bit later on too, get an update on TD's vibe check as we enter the final month of the season. But it is Titans cutdown day. We will go through any cuts that we get, any surprises that maybe happen, and where the Titans could look on waivers, as they still have that first waiver priority. A couple of interesting names cut loose over the last couple of days. We'll also look at Cam Ward's performance on Friday night and how he looked overall throughout the preseason and where he looks like he's going to be heading into week 1. But first, TD, a couple of big moves around the league yesterday. We saw some extensions finally get signed. Terry McLaurin has signed a 3-year, $96 million extension. We saw Trey Hendrickson get a raise. They finally figured things out in Cincinnati, at least for 1 year. It's not a long-term contract, but they've got him back on the field. And Jacoby Myers requesting a trade. That one's a little interesting to me. Mm-hmm. The Raiders also signed Amari Cooper, bringing him back to where he started his NFL career. Where do you think Jacoby Myers could end up if they do move him? I still am a little skeptical that they would get rid of him, but that's a guy who kind of flies under the radar, but he's been a 1,000-yard receiver at least the last couple of years.
Yeah, Maybe the Giants, I don't know, they need help receiver. There's no telling where he can end up. From what I understand, they don't intend to trade him, but you see the acquisition of Amari Cooper. And don't forget about the volunteer product. Well, Oregon first, but then volunteer. Dante Thornton, who apparently has elevated to wide receiver 1. And, it's crazy to think, like, that guy was in the building here.
Yep.
He was in the building. And they had interest in him, but, they went different directions.
He was on the board when they took DK, at least, right? So yeah. they could have gone with Thornton instead of DK. Both were 4-3 guys.
Yep.
I guess it's just kind of pick your flavor at that point of – Thornton's a little bit bigger than DK is. So, maybe it ends up being one of those things that we look back like Des Fitzpatrick and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Not saying that, he's got to prove it in real games, but yeah, it looks like Dante Thornton could end up being a dude in the NFL. We also saw the Browns finally fix their logjam, for at least for the most part, at quarterback. Not going to have 4 quarterbacks on the roster as they trade Kenny Pickett away to the Raiders last night. So Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders, they are going to be on that 53-man roster. No surprise there. And if Joe Flacco goes down or if things don't go well for the Browns for the first couple of months, looks like we could see one of the rookies take over there for Cleveland.
Which rookie will it be?
Right, that's the question.
I don't know. It just seems like I don't want to open a whole can of everything, but the Shedeur situation is very intriguing. I wonder if they would give him a chance if, something should happen where Flacco's not the quarterback there. I don't know, but, yeah, that's just kind of one I'll just kind of stay away from because we'll probably end up 2 or 3 segments on that topic,
Dylan Gabriel has looked good in the preseason, but I know there was conversations over the weekend in that last preseason game of Gabriel got to play with some of the more talented players on the roster, and he got the opportunity to go through the 2-minute drills, and Shedeur Sanders did not get that opportunity. But Shedeur, One of the things that was talked about with Shador as a knock on him in the draft process was that he would take some stupid sacks and he would go backwards in the pocket. And man, he took a 24-yard sack on Saturday, and that's something that he'll have to work out. But I do wonder, yeah, let's say Flacco gets hurt and they put Dylan Gabriel in there, and Gabriel struggles for a couple of weeks. I think the fan outcry for Shador Sanders would be too loud to not put him in at some point during the season. Maybe Dylan Gabriel gets in there and lights the world on fire and the Browns think they have their franchise guy. I kind of struggle to see that happening. I think eventually Shador Sanders is going to start football games for the Browns this year.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we shall see. I think if you just go on merit and play, I think he will start at some point. But it just seems like there's other factors working there.
Yeah.
And he has to be twice as good in order to have the same progression up the depth chart as a Dylan Gabriel would.
And the Browns, they are going to be in the quarterback market next year. I think you can pretty safely say that. Like, I don't think they are completely all in on either Gabriel or Sanders, having taken them beyond day one of the draft. So I think they'd like to see what they have in these guys. And if it means you lose more games, that's better for them in terms of getting towards the top of the draft to get whether it's Arch Manning or Garrett Nussmeier or whoever is the number one pick or top five pick. So I think it would make sense to at least get a look at both these guys. And because if you're going to draft a quarterback that high in the draft, you want to make sure that one of the guys on your roster isn't better than them already. You got to see right. What they can do in a real game.
Yeah, and that's the main thing that you have to figure out, you know what I mean? What will his presence bring to the roster that you don't already have?
Right, and that's usually how this ends up going when you take a flyer on a quarterback, whether that's on day two or day three. You let them play once the season gets out of hand, which for the Browns probably will be sooner rather than later. And if they end up working out, then great. You can give them a chance at a full season next year. That's kind of how it worked with Will Levis for the Titans. Like, they gave him a chance down the stretch. He showed enough promise to get the reins for 1 year, and then they moved on. Maybe that ends up happening with one of those two guys with the Cleveland Browns. Our resident Raider fan, Nevada Josh, chiming in on the Jacoby Myers trade talks. He says, they will not let him go. He's on his last year of his contract. He just wants an extension, and Pete will give it to him. My Raider take for the day. I think that's how it ends up working out. Like, how many trade requests have there been this offseason? Have any of them been traded?
Why did he request the trade?
He wants an extension.
Because he hasn't gotten the extension.
Yes.
So
yeah.
I'm not going to just say, and I get it, you know, fans look through it, look at things through their team-colored glasses. But that's just not an automatic that he's going to get the extension.
Right. But it usually ends up working itself out. Like, Terry McLaurin requested a trade. Trey Hendrickson requested a trade.
Yeah, you know what, though? Terry McLaurin, Trey Hendrickson, we're talking about
different
caliber players than Jacoby Myers. No disrespect to Jacoby Myers.
That's fair.
But those guys are relatively untradeable for your franchise.
That is true. And we'll see if Jacoby Myers ends up out there. I would say the Titans wouldn't be interested. Like, that's a guy who... marginal upgrade. Like, yeah, he's better at wide receiver two than what you have, but are you willing to give up draft capital to go get him and pay him?
No.
Every time a player requests a trade, there is somebody on Titans Twitter who goes out there and asks the question. I think that one's an easy no for the Titans. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. You can text or call us. Our phone lines are driven by Wilson County Hyundai. com. Since we are back on Tuesdays, and we're going to get more consistent here having TD on the show as many Tuesdays as it works out with his schedule, 11 a.m., we're going to start doing this. 11 a.m. on Tuesdays, talk to TD. I'm stealing a little bit of Ask D-Mace from DVD. We're going to let you ask the questions to Teron Davenport, whether it's about the Titans, the NFL, the Mets, life, anything. Just ask TD. That's coming up at 11. So get those questions in on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Again, that's Talk to TD. We'll do that in the 11 o'clock hour. But coming up next, it is roster cutdown day. The Titans do have to get their roster down to 53 players by 3 o'clock today. So we've got about 6 hours until they have to be down to 53. Right now, I believe they're at 74.
Yeah, 16 guys were
16 guys were cut yesterday, so they've got to cut about 20 more, and they can obviously filter 16 of those guys into the practice squad if they choose to do so over the next couple of days. But the Titans do have the top waiver priority. Where could they look to use that right and maybe add some more talent to this roster? We'll talk about that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. That was Brian Callahan on Saturday talking about the Titans' top waiver priority and how Mike Borgonzi may choose to use it over the next 24 hours. Titans have to cut down to 53 today, but odds are the back end of that roster not safe for very long, as the Titans should make multiple waiver claims from other teams. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up here on this Tuesday. TD, Titans have to get down to 53. And yesterday on the show, we did the exercise of just going through how many locks are there on the roster. And I went through, and I feel pretty confident in 46 players making the roster. But those seven spots, I got to say, I don't feel very good about those seven guys being NFL rosterable players. Now, there are a few in there, like James Prochet I had on the bubble. I think he would be fine as your seventh wide receiver. You're going to keep a third tight end. But if you're 49, 50 through 53, I don't think you feel very safe. The Titans probably going to be looking at the waiver wire at multiple positions over the next day or so.
Yeah, they will be looking at the waiver wire. I think they've kind of scoured, as Brian Callahan said. You know, Mike and Borgonzi and the crew, they've been looking at all the different prospective waiver guys. I think you look at some of them, there are some intriguing names, and to your point, I've said man 49 to 53, but I mean, you could really make a legitimate case like man 45 to 53.
Right.
You better have your head on a swivel and don't, you know, unpack just yet.
Right. You look at if they keep a ninth offensive lineman as a swing tackle, that could be replaceable. Third tight end, I think they like David Martin Robinson. It's probably, I don't know if that's a spot where you need to use a waiver claim. But running back, with Tajay Spears likely missing the first 4 weeks, Terry McCormick reporting yesterday that he's likely going to start the season on short-term IR. Maybe that's a place you go. And the name that was floating around there yesterday, the Broncos waving Audric Estime, maybe not a flashy name, but a guy who could possibly be that short-term Tajay Spears replacement until he's healthy again.
Not for me.
Really?
I think they're better off just keeping Julius Chestnut, honestly, as well as Kalel Mullins, who, you know, we don't know for sure what the injury situation is with him. But, yeah, Julius Chestnut, to me, is a better back than Estime,
so
frankly.
Would you say there are options that maybe you would go away from Chestnut to bring in another running back, just not Estime, who could come loose?
I haven't seen any yet. Jayshon Corbin from the Falcons is intriguing, but no. I haven't seen any come free yet, but let's comb through and look specifically for running backs. Corbin is one that popped out, but other than him, no.
I saw Cam Akers got cut. I know he's not on waivers because he's a veteran, but maybe that's a guy they look at as a short-term guy. I mean, he's kind of bounced around, but still a talented guy throughout his time in the league.
Yeah, Cam Akers, a guy, he could catch the ball as well out of the backfield, so it does give you similar type of ability to Tajay Spears. But, hey, Julius Chestnut could catch the ball out of the backfield too.
Hey, I don't hate it. Julius, he looked good on Friday night in that preseason game. He had the hurdle that set up the touchdown drive. So
yeah.
Right now, I think the Titans are going to keep four because Tajay Spears has to be on the 53-man roster before they can put him on IR. But – who knows, maybe running back is one of those surprise spots they make a waiver claim. On the offensive line, you look at it, you got the five starters, and then I think you feel good about the interior depth with Blake Hance, Jackson Slater, Corey Levin. But you do need a third tackle. And I know Blake Hance could swing out and play tackle if they needed him to, but you need somebody as an insurance policy to Dan Moore and J.C. Latham. Do you feel good if that is a guy like Ali Udo, who he's been the first one off the bench during the preseason? Or maybe that's a place you look on the waiver wire, or the Lions releasing Dan Skipper yesterday, a guy who's played with Kevin Zeitler. Maybe that's your option as a third tackle. He's been that for the Lions for the last couple of years.
Yeah, you know, Skipper could catch it too.
Right, as long as he reports to the referee.
Yeah, got to report. I think that is a situation where they're going to look at some of the options. Ali Udo, as you mentioned, is a guy. He's first off the bench. Jalen Duncan, you know, he's gotten a lot more interested. I'll put it that way. A lot more interested in his job, it seems like, this yeah. year. But it just – you just wonder how much do they trust him to stay that course. So he is somebody – but then you look at Andrew Rupchich. You know, he has the flexibility to play right tackle, right guard, left guard. And he's been a solid fill-in for them. So he's someone, I think you look at Brendan Crenshaw-Dixon.
Yep.
So they have guys that definitely have to be, they have to be watching. What's this waiver wire acquisition process going to look like
right.
for their position? Because I could easily see one of them getting pushed out because of a guy that they bring in.
Yeah, offensively, I think offensive line is where you look for a possible waiver claim. Outside of that, again, maybe running back if they feel like they need somebody for those first 4 weeks when Tajay Spears isn't going to be available. But it looks like a lot of the waiver claims are going to come on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
And I have noticed it seems like a lot of highly drafted defensive linemen are being cut. Now, that doesn't mean that they're good NFL players.
Boogie Basham.
Right. Like, there are some names that you recognize because of the draft process that are coming loose. Again, just because you were drafted in the second or third round doesn't mean you're a good NFL player. Like, the Titans claimed Brian Asamoah from the Vikings, and he's probably going to get cut today. Mm-hmm. So, it's not like you're going to bring this guy in, he's immediately going to be a starter. But there could be some intriguing names out there that are better than, you know, on the interior, a Carlos Watkins, who could get that fifth defensive lineman spot today. On the edge, Ali Gay, Jalen Harrell. You could upgrade through the waiver process there with somebody who maybe could be a reclamation project from somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, there are options, and sometimes a change of scenery helps. You know, you look at the Titans signed Daryl Baker Jr., you know, this time last year,
right,
he went from the Colts to the Titans, and he ended up starting. And I'm not talking about week 15, 16. No, I'm talking about week 4. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you do have guys that could definitely come off the waiver wire and contribute to your team.
You know the guy that I just saw got cut that I think the Titans should run to the waiver wire to get? And maybe this is just me. I actually met it's Chad Muma from the Jaguars. I actually met him. I went and worked stats for the famous Idaho Potato Bowl that he played in against Kent State his senior year. And I got to meet him, you know, the day before the game. Very nice guy. So I may be a little biased here just, you know, having met him personally.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked watching him. Like, that dude was a menace at Wyoming. I know it hasn't really worked out with the Jaguars, but I think he would be an upgrade over, you know, would it be Curtis Jacobs who probably gets that fourth inside linebacker spot right now?
He could be an upgrade over Jacobs. Honestly, I had Jacobs on my projection, but, of course, that doesn't include
right.
the waiver wire. Yeah, I like that. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that could definitely – that would be a good move. And, you know, he's a special teams guy, too, that could help you out there.
Right. I like Chad Muma. Again, I think I might have some bias there, and because he was – in that game, it was Kent State versus Wyoming. He was the best player on the field. Mm-hmm. He was a third-round pick. I don't think there was anybody else who really even got drafted. Well, I guess Isaiah Nayor, if I'm pronouncing that right, who transferred to Nebraska, he ended up being kind of a player. But Chad Muma was the best player on the field that day. I think I would be excited to see them bring him in. An inside linebacker. Again, we feel better about the top end, right? Like, Cody Barton has proven that he can be a solid starting linebacker throughout the preseason. And I love what we've seen from Cedric Gray and James Williams. But you need another body in that room. And I don't know if you feel good about whether it's Jacobs, Asamoah. Amari Burney got cut yesterday, right?
Yeah.
So, really, that's the only five you have in there right now. I think that would be an easy waiver claim to go get a guy like Muma. Maybe it's not specifically Chad Muma.
Yeah, and this is one of the cases where it's an advantage for the Titans having that first waiver claim, because Muma is a guy, like, you look at a situation like the Giants, you look at Denver, you know what I mean? Cody Barton just left there. They need another guy kind of like that. perfect opportunity for him to go there and maybe compete for a starting job while DJ Williams, you know, is on the mend. I think that's a move that if I'm Borgonzi and the crew, I'm definitely looking at.
Titans have the number one waiver claim. They have to get down to 53 today.
I said DJ Williams.
Oh, Jane.
I went old school Broncos linebackers. I meant Greenlaw.
Yes, Dre Greenlaw. I mean, that could be an opportunity for him, too. So we'll see. The Titans will get the cuts over the next 5 to 6 hours. I would guess they come down a little earlier than that. We'll probably find out some of them during the show today. We'll keep an eye out. And then the waiver claims will come tomorrow. I believe, Parker, did you say Mike Borgonzi going to speak on Thursday now?
Yes. Is that Thursday at 10 a.m.?
We'll hear from Mike Borgonzi. Believe we'll be able to air that on the show on Thursday and get all his thoughts on the cuts and the waiver claims the Titans bring in over the next couple of days. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts, we'll get to your phones coming up next. I want to stop on the cornerback room for a second. We'll look at that as the Titans, I think, need a waiver claim there. I think that is the one position that the other ones, you'd like a waiver claim. I think you need one at corner. We'll look at that coming up next. And also, I heard the morning show talking a lot about Hendon Hooker today. We will talk about Hendon Hooker being waived by the Lions before the hour is up as well. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday morning. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you. Parker, so far so good on the bump music?
Yeah, there's a funny thing to this. And as a Virginia guy, you could appreciate this because Missy Elliott is from the DMV.
Yep.
So we're in the studio, and I'm like, Parker, because, you know, we put the music together for the Talking with TD podcast. And I'm like, Parker, I'm going to put this song on right here. Like, you ever heard of Missy Elliott? He was like, who?
Not one of my best moments.
I mean, you got to educate him. He's going to be with us every week.
This is my same reaction.
Yeah.
That's why TD is in my life, to show me the things that I didn't know.
Hey, TD educates. Like, he got Connor Newt playing some good bump music.
I got Connor Newt playing that old 1980s SOS band.
Right.
But, yeah, I was so disappointed that he did not. And my reaction was literally like, I was speechless and just looked.
That's tough. I mean, I wouldn't say that I know a ton of Missy Elliott, but, like, I know who she is, of course.
But, look. He, on his own, picked the song and put it out there.
I'm a changed man.
Great job.
I'm a changed man.
There we go. Props to Parker Kelly. He's learning back there. These TD Tuesdays, every other day, the music doesn't matter. But when TD's in here, you got to impress.
Mm-hmm.
So
Music. I listen to music more than watch TV. Like, when I go to road games, that's a lie. When I'm on the road, non-football season, I don't even turn the TV on in the hotel.
Really?
Yeah, I don't even turn the TV on.
Wow.
The only reason I turn the TV on in road games is to watch college games.
I mean, I have to say, the TV, when I go on road trips, is on, like, from the second I walk in, and it's on when I'm leaving. Like, I'll just throw on Comedy Central or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or if there is a game on, obviously I'll watch that. But usually it's just like, all right, they're showing Office reruns.
Yeah.
That's going to be on the entire time. I'm not a huge music guy.
Me, I'm huge.
Like, I need to get more into it. I'm more of a podcast listener when I'm in the car.
Listen, we all have our things that we
right. But, you know, well done, Parker Kelly. You've still got 2.5 hours here to impress TD.
Hey, I'll keep the hits rolling.
There we go.
Throughout the course of the afternoon,
Connor, you got some competition here.
Connor started school this week. He's back at MTSU for his senior year. So. Props to Connor. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One more thought on the waiver claims, because the Titans are going to get down to 53 this afternoon. And then I believe tomorrow we should start to see those waiver claims coming in, see who the Titans are trading in and out as they have that top waiver priority. TD, do you agree with me that cornerback is the one position that the Titans need another body at? Because I think you feel fine with the five you have of Snead, McCreary, Brownlee, Baker, Harris. I think those five are going to make the roster. Maybe Gabe Judy-Lally makes the team, but I think you have to add another body in that room just because you don't know about L'Jarius Snead and how much he's going to be able to play. And if you end up having to run out of four of, you know, you feel good about McCreary and Brownlee, but Baker and Harris, I think you'd like to add another body to that room who could be some depth at cornerback.
Yeah, you definitely want to add another body. And this is one of those things. Look, man, hindsight's always 20/20, right? We talk about the fourth round with Dante Thornton. You know, another fourth round guy, Quincy Riley. Man, he's down there in New Orleans lighting it up. You know what I mean? Lighting it up. Jarvis Brownlee Jr.'s teammate for a year at Louisville. I know the Titans had interest. There were reasons that I've been told that they, you know, pivoted.
Gotcha.
But they still believe he's a really good player. So, you know, that's an example where it's a guy, like, he could play outside, he could play inside. You know, think Jair Alexander. Like, that's who he patterned his game after. I remember he told me that at the combine. But nevertheless, I mean, you look at the DBs across the waiver wire. I didn't see any that really stood out.
Me neither.
I mean, you're probably not going to get a top-tier corner. You know, even a top 15 corner coming free. I would watch what the Ravens do because they're pretty deep at cornerback. But, you know, other than that, there's not really much to – unless there's some type of surprise.
Yeah, you got to hope you can find a Daryl Baker-type guy. Like, again, not a guy who's going to go out and start for you, but a guy that if he gets out there isn't going to be a complete disaster. And I think the Titans – hoped that one of those undrafted free agent guys that they brought in was going to work out, whether that's Jamari Harris, Davian Ross, was Jalen Kimber. I think they brought those guys in as undrafted guys thinking, hey, one of these guys is going to be good enough to make our roster. And from everything I've heard, and you've been out there at practice every day, like it feels like anytime the backup cornerbacks got in the game or got into practice, it was just not good at all. And it's tough because you were hoping that maybe one of those young guys could end up being a developmental piece for you.
Yeah.
Now you probably do have to go to the waiver wire.
Yeah, I think, you know, Marcus Harris is a guy I would mention. I saw him get cooked a couple times, but he's made some plays as well. So that's probably, to me, the bright spot as far as the young cornerbacks. Jamari Harris, I really thought that he was going to. I actually, my original 53-man, the one going into training camp, had him on it.
Right.
Not anymore. I swapped him out for Gabe Judy-Lally, who to me, like, it's, I know why they're doing it. They like his ability, but he doesn't have the long speed. And that's why he's playing more nickel.
Yeah.
But you look at their very own offense, they got a guy like Chimere Dike that they put in the slot, and they're going to run those deep crossers with him. And, you know, when other teams do that, Judy-Lally just unfortunately doesn't have the speed to run with slot receivers on those deep type of vertical speed routes, you know, whether it's the, you know, I say deep crosser, but with this deep crosser, like, you're getting depth as you cross the field. So it's not, don't think crossing route, you know what I mean?
Right.
But, yeah, more like an arrow route. But anyway, I'm really intrigued by this group of DBs. You know, Legarius need the conditioning. If he could get that conditioning right, I think he'll be serviceable. Now, if he gets back to the Legarius Sneed, the one that, you know, jammed Tyreek Hill to the next month.
Yeah.
And Tyreek Hill admitted it. You get back to that guy, now your defense is totally different. But, I mean, who's to say that's for sure going to happen?
You can't count on that with what we've seen from Legarius Sneed in a Titans uniform so far. I think you're just hoping and praying that he can be a starting level cornerback in the league. Like, If you can get a starting level Legarius Sneed, Jarvis Brownlee on the other side, Roger McCreary in the slot, like, that's a fine group of starting cornerbacks. And you've got, you know, Imani Hooker and Xavier Woods back there. That makes your top line secondary fine. Like, it's a good group. The depth is the issue, because if any of those guys get hurt, and again, with Legarius Sneed, it seems it's more when, not if, he gets hurt. You're going to have to put somebody in there who, like, Daryl Baker's proven to be a fine backup. Marcus Harris, like you said, he's flashed this year, and I think I'm excited to see how he develops. But, yeah, like, if you have to put Gabe Judy-Lally out there, I don't know how great you feel. And I agree with you that Jamari Harris heading into training camp, I thought he was going to make the roster. He was a guy that everybody looked at when the Titans signed him and said it was off-the-field stuff that moved him out of the draft. He was a draftable player if you take away the off-the-field stuff. We haven't heard anything from off the field. He just hasn't been very good on the field.
Yeah, and that's the issue, right?
Right, and that's what, like
that's what's most important.
I think if you had told me like Jamari Harris doesn't make this team, I would have said, you know, not surprising. He's undrafted, and maybe the off the field stuff was legit, but he just wasn't. Like
he just wasn't. Yeah,
there wasn't a single time that I saw a tweet from you or from anybody else saying great play from Jamari Harris.
No, I mean he didn't have many good moments. And that's a problem. Like if you're undrafted, like you got to have a good moment every day. Like you have to be someone that's getting mentioned. Oh, like Bryce Oliver was last year. There wasn't a practice you went through where you didn't say, "Good Lord, man, Aiden right. made a play again, man. Who is that guy again? Oh yeah. You know what I mean? And that's not what you're saying about Jamari Harris. And I mean, I thought that he would take advantage of this situation. And all of the extra reps that he was getting at the right. outside and sees it. But I'm telling you, Marcus Harris has done that.
Yep. And I like what I saw, especially in the Atlanta game for Marcus Harris. Mm-hmm. I think that is a good fifth cornerback to have, but you need six, likely. And we'll see if the Titans end up using their top waiver priority to bring in another DB. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts, questions for TD, we will get to those at 11 a.m. For our first edition of Talk to TD here on this TD Tuesday on the program. Later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on Charlotte at First Horizon Park with the first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Now, I already had this in the show plan that we were going to talk about Hendon Hooker here. But we are getting texts asking questions about Hendon Hooker, and we have to address it. The former Vols quarterback was waived by the Lions yesterday. The question is, would the Titans go and get him? Justin from Greenbrier just asked that. We will address that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. This isn't just a concert, it's a cause. Trinetics Rock the Cradle helps give fragile newborns a stronger start and keeps mom close when it matters most. With Tim McGraw live on stage and your support behind every beat, Ascension St. Thomas is turning music into healing. Tickets are on sale now at rockthecradlenashville.org. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Latest round of NFL roster cuts as all 32 teams have to be down to 53 players. Today, the Colts have released Jelani Woods, tight end, 6'7", big guy. Titans, I don't think, will be in the tight end market on the waiver wire, but there's a chance. Jets releasing former third-round pick out of Western Kentucky, Malachi Corley, Laviska Shenault cut by the Bills, and there was another one. Oh, Trent Brown cut by the Texans, and the Texans also apparently are shopping Cam Robinson. So that offensive line that shuffled so much in the offseason continues to shuffle. Although it seems like they like Ariante Ursary, the second-round pick out of Minnesota. So
Laviska Shenault, man. I remember watching him, seeing him at Colorado.
I thought he was gonna be a stud.
And I'm just like, ooh. And then they did the story, and he got to the league, and it just never worked out.
I remember when the Jags picked him, and I was
like, ooh, man,
we're going to have to see him all the time. And it never worked out. He had the Deebo Samuel-type profile. It just didn't work out. Another player who was cut yesterday, Hendon Hooker. He was waived by the Detroit Lions, former third-round pick out of Tennessee. And we've been getting questions. Justin from Greenbrier asks, I know this is probably a rose-colored glasses view, maybe an orange-colored glasses view, but could the Titans go get Hendon Hooker? Maybe it just didn't work out with him in Detroit, but have him come here and work with Cam Ward and maybe find his groove. I will quickly take a victory lap because back when the Will Levis versus Hendon Hooker argument was going on and people were saying trade for Hendon Hooker, I said that is nothing more than a backup in the NFL. I watched every snap he took at Virginia Tech, and I know he figured it out at Tennessee, and he was maybe the best quarterback in football in 2022, in college football. But he has no traits, and that's what the NFL drafts on, is traits. Like, that is why Will Levis went higher, because he had the arm strength and and the size, and Hendon Hooker didn't have that. I will say I think somebody should claim Hendon Hooker, and it's a good reclamation project. Maybe you can figure it out with him and turn him into a solid backup. It should not be here, though.
Yeah, somebody should target him. I don't know about here. San Francisco is always a good place for quarterbacks to go to develop. Kansas City is always a good place for quarterbacks to go to develop.
Maybe the Saints
Rams
or something.
Are always, I don't know about the Saints. You know, me personally.
For an opportunity, I guess.
Spencer Rattler needs to be the starter down there, but that's a different conversation. I will say this, you know, as you mentioned Levis and talk about Hendon Hooker, it's like if you can merge the two, you got something. Because the one thing that Hooker does well, his decision-making. You know what I mean? And he's a facilitator. And he basically ran like the fast break offense at Tennessee.
Right.
Which, as we know, tends to not transfer to the league. That's why, personally, Vol fans are about to hate me. But I think Nico made a good decision NFL-wise.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Hey, leaving. Vol's Twitter is about to come after both of you.
No,
just,
I mean,
beware.
Yeah, that's okay.
I heard Joe and Robbie talking about it, that if Nico has a good year and gets drafted, he is going to bash the Tennessee offense for holding him back. And
yeah,
as true, it will continue to be a narrative until somebody breaks it. I thought Robbie and Joe put it perfectly. Like the Tennessee offense needs somebody to come out of that and be successful at the NFL level to stop the narrative.
Yeah.
Right now, there just isn't anybody.
But I will say this, like, Nico not working with the Vols, like, I don't think that's a Josh Heupel problem. That's a Nico problem.
For sure.
Because Dante Thornton should be a daggone first-round pick, given how many times Nico missed him deep. We're not going to get into all that. Again, yet another thing we're not going to get into, but I think when you look at Hendon Hooker and where he should end up going, to me, the 49ers are the best place for him.
Yeah, and Kyle Shanahan has been the quarterback reclamation guy. Like, I mean, Sam Darnold is the main example of brought him in and turned him into a guy who won 14 games for the Vikings last year. Chip from Mount Juliet makes the point, the Lions brought in Teddy Bridgewater off the high school football sideline ahead of him last year. Like, it, people will tell you what they think of a guy based on what they do. And again, I think Hendon Hooker will probably be claimed somewhere. Somebody will take a chance on him. It shouldn't be here because, and this is not to all Vols fans, because there are plenty of smart Vols fans out there who are rational and wouldn't do this. But if the Titans did bring in Hendon Hooker and Cam Ward had a bad game in Denver, I think that's all it would take for some Vols fans to say, let's see what Hendon's got. Let's put him out there. And you don't want that for your young quarterback because it's a distraction to have somebody that the fans already is beloved among Tennessee fans. You bring him in here, and now it's like he's looking over Cam Ward's shoulder, even if that's not how it actually is in the quarterback room.
Yeah, it's just optically it's not good. You know, I think there are other things that you could do. And people say, hey, well, you know, Brandon Allen, if he has to come in, yeah. You know what? I don't care who it is. If they have to come in, like, just cancel Christmas.
Yeah,
because
it's over.
Everything. And that's why I asked Cam Ward the question. Like, you literally have the lifeline of this organization sitting on your shoulders. It's a lot of pressure.
Yep.
But he handles it. You know what I mean? And it's just, it's a fact. Like, 2027, whatever the momentum is going into that stadium, it's because of Cam Ward.
Yep.
Now, it could be good. It could be bad. But whatever the momentum is, it's because of him.
It could, depending on the spectrum of Cam Ward outcomes over the next two seasons, you could either be heading into that stadium feeling like you're ready to go compete to go to the Super Bowl if Cam Ward is that kind of player, or Cam Ward could be getting cut or traded and you're starting over at quarterback and there's no momentum heading into the new stadium. Like, it is exclusively on Cam Ward. And, like, I don't think bringing in a guy who the fans would be, the Tennessee fans portion of this fan base would be looking to switch to in a blink of an eye if Cam Ward doesn't look good, it wouldn't be great. But, I mean, I've never believed that Hendon Hooker was an NFL quarterback, a starting NFL quarterback. I think it would be a fine claim for somebody else to see if they can get something out of him. It can't be here, though. It cannot be here.
Yeah, they don't have time to, A, invest into developing him, but also, why? Like,
yeah.
Why would they do it?
I mean, if you want to bring in a younger third quarterback, because, like, having Brandon Allen and Trevor Siemian might be a little redundant. Like, they're both kind of the same guy. maybe if you want to bring in a younger third quarterback to be on your practice squad and develop, that's fine. But if you bring in Hendon Hooker, it's like a lesser version of what's going on with Shador in Cleveland. Shador is the third string quarterback, but all the fans want him to play. And I know it wouldn't be all the fans here, but there would be that portion of the fan base that would always be thinking, man, we'd love to see Hendon Hooker play for the Titans. And it would be a distraction, and it can't happen. Again, I like Hendon Hooker. I actually took a class with Hendon Hooker my sophomore year.
Oh, really?
When he was there. That was actually his best season. They went 9-3 that year. But I never thought he had the traits to be an NFL quarterback, a productive NFL quarterback. We'll see if maybe a change of scenery can help him out.
Yeah.
Ben asks on our text line, is it possible Cam is just mediocre and we are in limbo in 2027, trying to hope he takes a leap? For sure. I said it's a spectrum. I went with the two extreme outcomes. It probably is somewhere in the middle where, you know, 75th percentile outcome is probably that he ends up being a top 15 quarterback in the league and you're a playoff contender. And, yeah, your 25th percentile outcome is probably exactly that Cam is just good enough to keep giving him chances, and you don't really know what to do with him moving forward.
Yeah.
So we will see. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Continue to get your questions in for TD. We will talk to TD coming up at 11 and give you the chance to ask any questions you have for Teron Davenport. But coming up next, we'll talk more about Cam Ward. He had his preseason finale on Friday night. Thought he looked good. We will go through that performance, and did he play enough in the preseason to be ready for the game against Denver? 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game.